Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
A very good early morning to you all. Yes, rolling into this one at an earlier hour. I don't know if any of you guys even care why, but just at this point, assume that it's because I'm trying to fit a lot of things into a very narrow window of time. So today, one of my kids has school, the other one doesn't. My wife took the one that doesn't to drop off the old one, and then they're going to be back here in the next 20 to 30 minutes. And then I got to watch the little one. So it's a magical time when preschool age kids are on spring break because they're nothing is timed right. And we try to get a podcast out in there when we can. So that's what this is. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Dan Bespris. It's Fantasy NBA Today, a SportsEthos.com presentation. Today is a more traditional lesson learned type of episode, and I thought we could kind of turned it into a medium dive, maybe not the world's deepest dive, because those tend to get a little bit on the dry side. And that dive today is, what happens when stars collide? And I don't mean that in terms of, like, two superstars banging into each other, but it is kind of what happens when they're on the same team. So the lesson to explore, and I don't want to have the answer yet, I'd rather have the answer at the end, is what do we do as fantasy players when superstars team up, meaning collide for usage on the same ball club? This year, we had a couple of examples of that. I would think that the largest example of that this season is Damian Lillard going to the Milwaukee Bucks. That was probably the highest profile player to move during the offseason. James Harden being the highest profile player to move during the actual season. And don't worry, we'll get there as well. But what happens when a guy like Damian Lillard goes from where he is the undisputed number one clobbering time guy in Portland, where the ball is just in his hands every single play forever, to a place where he's still going to be a feature guy, but just not the same? Well, last season, when Dame was the last man standing in Portland, he took almost 21 shots a game and almost 10 free throws a night. Also had 7.3 assists per ball game. What that translated to is almost irrelevant here, but it did translate to 32 points per game. He was second in the league in scoring, I think, behind Joel Embiid, or third, like tied with Luka Doncic, basically, last year. 5 boards, again, 7-plus assists, 4-plus three-pointers, 0.9 steals, 0.3 blocks, 46 and change from the field, 91 at the free throw line. He was the second largest free throw volume guy behind just Shai Gilgeous-Alexander last season. This year, the drop-off was steep. It was steep. 6.9 assists, so that didn't fall quite as hard. He still played 35 minutes a ball game, which was one down from last season, but you certainly can't put it on that. Defensive stats, rebounds also a little bit lower. The key is that the ball just simply wasn't in his hands as much. He took 17.5 shots per game instead of 20.5 shots per game, so a 15% drop off there. Free throws went from 9.6 down to 7.1, a huge drop off in free throws. He's still incredible at them, and he was still the number two guy by free throw volume, not behind Shea this year, but behind Joel Embiid while he was upright. And overall, we got the kind of result that we expected. And that, I think, is where we need to start to get into what the thesis of this discussion is, which is, by and large, and you guys are going to hear me say this a lot if you're going to hang out with us during the offseason, we are going to try to do on this podcast what simplifies fantasy basketball, and from a mathematical or sort of probabilistic standpoint, finding the move that is successful most of the time, and at least starting the handicap at that spot, is going to be the way we operate. And again, you've heard us talk about this in sort of other show topics we've had over the last now week and a half, effectively. So why would this one be any different? It wouldn't. Like, thinking about some of the most recent shows we've done. Should we ride sub or hot sub 100 players in fantasy? Well, that one we came to the conclusion of, look, we're going to go with whatever odds make the most sense. So a guy like Jeremy Sohan, the odds say don't do it because overall the bad is going to strongly outweigh the good. But then there were guys like Bobby Portis where the good sometimes outweighs the bad and for long enough for it to be relevant. Okay, great. 2 days ago, we talked about rookies. What's our stance on drafting rookies? Well, simplify. Most of the rookies who have the ball in their hand don't hit their markers. The rookies that where someone gets them the ball and they don't detonate you in the percentages, those are the ones that are successful. So we're going to sort of start with that type of handicap and move from there. That's what we're going to do with this as well. So the starting point with this discussion has to be what we talked about 2 years ago. I think we did this 2 years ago on a show, but it bears repeating, which is when superstars go from the spot where they're the lone alpha to a place where there are a couple of alphas, there is a drop-off of some size in their fantasy production. It's not always massive. Sometimes it's small, but it's always something. Other examples of this type of thing happening in the not-so-recent past, or actually fairly recent past, would be a guy like James Harden. James Harden in Philadelphia, who was already, by the way, the number two behind Joel Embiid, so the thought was like, okay, well, does he go from number two to number two somewhere else? James Harden in Philly played 37, almost, minutes per ball game. He's always going to be very high in that mark. He averaged 21 points, almost 11 assists, 1.2 steals, 6 boards, almost 3 three-pointers. The free throw stuff was still good, but not quite to that otherworldly mark that he had been in the past. And he finished up at number 17 per game in 9-category leagues. Harden was still solid this year, mind you, and especially when you consider where he was getting drafted because of the trade demands and because folks didn't know how long it was going to take Philly to ship him out. He finished at number 25 this year, because his role just got smaller. He went from 14.5 shots per game, almost 11 assists and 6 free throws a night, to 11.5 shots per game, 8.5 assists, and 5 free throws per night, because he went from the place where he was the undisputed number 2 to a place where he was basically the undisputed number 3. Paul George took 17 shots a game. Kawhi took 17 shots a game. James Harden took 11.5. And I get it. He's not going to take 17 shots a night anymore because he's going to be more of a pass-first type of player, especially as he slows down. But this is the type of thing you see. Kawhi was still awesome, by the way. He was number 7 per game. Paul George was number 12. Kawhi last year was number 13. But remember, he was sort of ramping up as the season went, so his minutes weren't all the way back where they needed to be, and it took him a while to kind of get his legs underneath him. This year was just overall better. Interestingly, Kawhi had almost the same number of turnovers each season. He was at 52 and 89, or 88 his percentages this year. Last year he was at 51 and 87. You know, the numbers were not all that different. 1.4 steals, half a block. This year it was at 1.7 steals, 0.9 blocks. That's one of the big reasons that his numbers were a little bit higher. The addition of James Harden didn't really impact the main Clippers, Although, Paul George just generally had a better year. It's hard to exactly pinpoint why. 91% free throw shooting was definitely part of it. Shot better from the field this season as well. So just sort of like a general bounce up. But, again, the story there is what happens to James Harden when he joins that existing infrastructure. His numbers went down. Not by as much as Dame, because Harden has that defensive stat and assist and sort of even rebounding to some degree buffer against drop-off, but there was still drop-off. I think you could probably argue those were the two that happened this year, although you could stretch it a little bit. If you really wanted to get into the weeds, you can go as far as the Phoenix Suns, although they added Kevin Durant last year, and Bradley Beal was the addition this season.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Last year, Beal was number 54. He was hurt a lot in 9-cat. Taking 17.5 shots per game. This year, he took 14 shots per game. Somehow, he still managed to get to number 75, which, again, you know, kudos on having kind of the other stuff that maybe wasn't quite as good last season. Turnovers were a little lower. Still, it's not arguable. His job got smaller. Last year, Bradley Beal was number 54 with the Wizards. He took 17.5 shots per ball game, which for him felt kind of low, but he was already starting to throttle down. 23 points, 4 boards, 5.5 assists, 1.6 defensive stats, 1.6 threes, 50.5 and 84 with the splits from the field. This year, 14 shots per game. Scoring was down to 18. He did it 2 3-pointers, 4 boards, 5 assists, 1.5 defensive stats, 51-81 on the splits there. But again, without even getting too much into the actual counting numbers, the important thing to look at is shots went from 17.5 to 14. What about the other guys on that Phoenix Suns team? Well, Devin Booker was not particularly impacted by the addition of Bradley Beal. He still got a lot of shots up, and he was more efficient. He took 20 shots a game last year. Booker was at 19 this year, so the number of shots actually did go down. But other stuff he did was just a little bit better. Like last year, Booker was at 28 points, 2 threes, 4.5 boards, 5.5 assists, 1.3 defensive stats. 49 and 86 were the splits. This year, he was at 27 points per game on 19 shots. So again, like the scoring only went down by one because the efficiency just got better. 4.5 boards, 7 assists. That was where Booker was able to elevate himself because they got rid of all their other point guards. And then Beal was hurt for half the season. Defensive stat didn't change all that much. 49 and 89 were the splits from the field, so that actually got a little bit better for him. Kevin Durant, the other name on that team, previous year, which again was heavily with Brooklyn. He did play in Phoenix, so we saw him that he was still good enough. But for KD, there was just a little bit of erosion, not a ton. You know, a lot of what you saw was other guys just doing better around him, and his free throw number was lower this year for whatever goofball reason. Field goal percent, free throw percent were both a little bit lower for Kevin Durant, so he wasn't hugely impacted by the Bradley Beal thing. But what you can say here is that the Kevin Durant-Devin Booker pair-up was one of the odd ones where both those guys basically just held steady. But that's probably worth discussing as well. I didn't intend on jumping over to the Phoenix Suns' existing superstars, but this feels like a pretty good time to break into that a little bit, which is that Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, you know, for Booker, he actually got a little bit better despite the usage being a tiny bit lower or the shooting numbers being a tiny bit lower. Usage basically stayed the same. It just converted into assists instead of an extra shot. For Durant, things stayed pretty much the same as well in the switch over from Brooklyn to Phoenix. Again, it does feel kind of like the free throw thing was more of a one-off than a trend, but I suppose we'll know better by next year. Those two are an example of when you put a couple of superstars together and they coexist. And there are examples of that. Kyrie with Luka Doncic, which we kind of knew was going to be fine because Kyrie had been the 1B in like multiple previous stops. And Luka was still going to be the guy who had the basketball and was kind of doing everything. Like Kyrie wasn't going to impact him in a big, big way. In fact, looking at the numbers here, I think Irving actually took, one fewer shot? Is that the number? 19.5 shots a game this year. Kyrie last year was at 20. So it only went down by half a shot. But while it is true that we have these instances every once in a while where superstars come together and no one is particularly hurt by it, it's pretty damn rare that a superstar grouping comes together and anybody gets better. Devin Booker is the closest thing to that, mostly because his job changed so considerably. The Suns pulled a bunch of dudes together, unloaded anyone on the team that could play point guard. Campaign gone, Chris Paul gone, so on and so forth. So there was an assist chunk that was available. Also, again, injuries played a role because Beal missed half the year. And anyway, point there is, as we're heading towards next fantasy draft season, because we want to be able to convert this topic into something actionable, the thesis sentence again here has to be, don't draft superstars that are joining forces with other superstars, because percentage-wise, it tends to not work. Nothing in this universe is an absolute. There have been, as we just mentioned, some examples where guys have been able to coexist in some way. Maybe not perfectly, but as again, you just heard, Kevin Durant's value didn't really go down. His rank was lower, but again, I think a lot of that is the free throw number being, you know, 5-6 percentage points off, which is kind of weird for him. Field goal percent was also down, but again, some of that feels a little bit fluky. Maybe not. We'll see by next year. I don't think you could blame it on the personnel around him, though. It's hard to say that, like, KD slipped four slots in ranking because of Booker and Beal and his percentages just dipping. But, I mean, we'll see on that one. Why was Kevin Durant still kind of a draft day value this year? Mostly because people didn't think he was going to stay healthy all year. And he generally was healthy this season. So he wasn't slipping because of a pair-up. Sometimes you'll see draft day rankings slip because of the superstars pairing up. A good example of that over the last couple of seasons was DeJounte Murray when he went to Atlanta. He was drafted in the first round because of what he was doing in San Antonio. Then the news broke. Then he got bumped all the way down into the 30s. And then, I don't know if you guys remember this sort of pendulum swinging on Yahoo's pre-ranks, not this season, but the previous one. But Murray went from like 7th in ADP to like, or pre-rank, to like 34th, and then he jumped up to like 16, and then it went back down into the 20s, and he just sort of like, the pendulum was swinging back and forth until it finally settled around 20, which, by the way, still turned out to be too high. And that was one of those ones where you had to look at it and say, okay, well, Trae Young is not going to be giving anything up right now. How much are we really going to adjust this number? And the answer was quite a lot. And you can go through however many seasons you want to of just like digging backwards through the numbers and trying to figure out who joined forces with who and how that impacted them. But again, percentage-wise, we can say most of the time when superstar high-usage guys come together, there's going to be a dip for one or both. It doesn't necessarily mean you can't draft those players because sometimes there are other factors that influence their ADP or pre-rank, but it does mean that you should start from a place of avoidance, and it's going to have to be a really strong set of reasons to move back into actually drafting those players. Another recent example from previous years, Donovan Mitchell going to Cleveland. His value was not hugely impacted. In fact, you could argue that Donovan may have even gotten a tiny bit better, although, you know, some of that was just a call it lucky or sustainable uptick in field goal percent. Hard to say. Big time steals jump, so there was that element of it in the sort of switch from Utah to Cleveland. But look what happened to poor Darius Garland in that one. Darius Garland was seemingly well on his way to big, huge, mega fantasy numbers, and then Donovan Mitchell showed up, and Garland was number 50 last year and worse this season. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to force a round peg through a square hole. So, where do we land on all of this? Just looking at examples over the last two seasons, basically. I don't think we have any choice but to land on basically, again, this is ballparking it a little bit because I want to make sure that what we're doing on the fantasy side is simplifying the equation. Probably avoid these situations. One of the problems, I think, mentally, before we talk a little bit about what's going on in the playoffs, one of the problems mentally with this is these are superstars, for one, so they're going to get talked about a lot during fantasy draft season just because of their name recognition. And two, you can start to look at, and like Yahoo will generally drop a player a little bit in pre-ranks when they pair up with another superstar. You can start to look at that and go, is that far enough? Are they going to drop maybe less than that adjustment? Because remember, Damian Lillard was, you know, I guess he got pushed up a little bit. Dame was generally going in like the beginning of the second round when Yahoo Leagues opened post Milwaukee Bucks trade. And then slowly he got his way up the board. So people were like, oh, Dame in the second round, that's a massive value. I'm going to start taking him a slot or two ahead of that. And it was this sort of very small but very noticeable snowball effect where he went from going at like 14th to the turn to just before the turn, and then he ended up going at like 7, 8, 9 range in a lot of drafts, which is like kind of where he was going in Portland. And that to me didn't make a whole lot of sense. But that's what happens with this stuff. Guys get dropped in pre-rank a little bit. And then we twist ourselves into knots. We talk our way through loops to figure out a way to draft these guys because we're like, well, maybe he dropped a little bit too far. No, usually the adjustment in the pre-ranks is actually kind of accurate on this stuff. So when that opened up and Yahoo had Dame at like 14 or 15, that was a much more accurate place for it. I'm still a little surprised that he didn't get into the middle of the second round, but he shot just 42.5% from the field this year, which feels like a number that could be a little bit better next season. So maybe, I still don't think people are going to draft Dame at like 22. He'll go earlier than that. But if he did fall to where he finished this year, that's where you could start to argue, okay, there's a little bit of upside built into that for the following season.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
But again, by and large, when these superstars team up, the downward adjustment being made by the pre-ranks, by the ADP, is closer to accurate than not. A lot of the time. It's pretty rare, it's unbelievably rare, when a player does like what Donovan Mitchell does, who suddenly turned himself into a monster steals guy, and the usage stayed pretty close to the same, but just being in a different environment. So yeah, I guess, you know, you probably could have gotten him at the end of the second round, and he ended up as a late first, early second last year. But again, he was going early second round this season anyway, so there's, you know, there wasn't really anything on the second year. Most of the time, if you take these guys rolling into a new venue, it's going to burn you. It's usually the new guy coming in. Donovan Mitchell is very much the exception to that rule. He came in and he just immediately asserted himself as the alpha in Cleveland over the existing guys there. Most of the time you see more like what you saw from Dame, from Harden this year, and you just roll backwards through the seasons and you'll see it. DeJounte Murray in Atlanta is another example of a guy who just sort of went from being 1A to being 1B. And there's a big difference there. Big enough that we continue to talk ourselves in circles to try to convince us that it's not, and then it is anyway. Yesterday, Miami went insane from three-point land. They hit a Heat playoff record, 23 three-pointers. Tyler Hero had 6 of them. Jovic had 3. Caleb Martin had 5. Highsmith had 3. Jaquez had 3. Duncan Robinson only had 2 somehow. Boston played with their food and got burnt. Bad game for Kristaps Porzingis, too. 1 of 9 shooting. I still think Boston's going to be fine in the end of all this because there's just no way that Miami's going to hit 23 three-pointers every ball game and shoot like 60% from downtown. The effective field goal percent for Miami from downtown was insanity, and you're not going to lose a game when you shoot that well from three. That's just the nature of the NBA. But this, I think, will probably be a little bit of a wake-up call for the Celtics, and if they really lock themselves in, the Celtics should be able to run away with this series. So I wouldn't overreact to it. Oklahoma City thwomping the Pelicans here in their second matchup. OKC shot 59%. We'll see how things go on the road. Thunder, I should say, are definitely a better home team than road team. But the Pels being down Zion, you kind of figured that that would catch up at some point. Can't possibly be this bad again. But that is not the main focus, because today we've got a triple header. Oh, boy. Again, this is the part of the playoffs that I still enjoy, because you got a couple games every day. Cleveland is in Orlando. Magic are favored by 2 with a total of 201. Oof. Every time you think they can't be lower scoring, it gets lower scoring. Cleveland beat Orlando in their last ball game, 96-86. I mean, that is an obscenely low total, 182. Like, as low as they keep going, it just seems like they can't go low enough. At some point, these teams are going to have a game where they shoot a little bit better. I don't know. Maybe it'll be this one in Orlando, but so far it is a defensive slog, and I don't think I can get on board with the totals, because I don't know that we've bottomed out yet. As far as Orlando being favored by 2, I'm a little worried on what we've seen from the Magic. This is sort of the game that teams get if they're the underdog. But they're just, like, Orlando's not finding any openings to score. I don't know how they overcome this, because Cleveland just has guys that can get a bucket better. That's kind of what the playoffs come down to sometimes. So, probably dodging the side. Philly, 5-point favorites over the Knicks. That is actually extremely surprising as well. 204 is the total in that ball game. Last ball game finished at 205, so they feel pretty comfortable with the number that they're sitting on, and it's probably accurate. I don't think the pace changes all that much. Joel Embiid is questionable with the injury, the knee stuff, but he'll play almost definitely. And so then it'll kind of just come down to, does anybody have a particularly strong ball game? I think I would probably lean to the under, because Embiid is not quite himself, and Maxey actually played pretty well in their last one. For the Knicks, you had pretty decent shooting from everybody that's not Jalen Brunson. I guess if he wakes up, that's how it kind of goes over the total. I don't like this one either. And then Denver at LA, I don't know how you bet the Lakers playing the Nuggets. They cough it up at the end every time. Total of 217. This again is assuming that something is going to change dramatically. And I just, like, maybe you see the Lakers run better offense in the second half, but so far these games have slowed down to a crawl in the second half. And I don't see it picking back up again. The only way you get over that number is if the Lakers go crazy, and then the Nuggets will kind of have to keep up with them. But Denver's perfectly comfortable with what's going on so far, because they're winning these games late like they always do against the Lakers. I don't know, man. It just, you're sort of fighting two things here in this one. There's always the Lakers tax you're paying, but I also think the public has seen this series, and they've seen the Lakers and Nuggets. And I don't think anybody believes the Lakers can win any game against them. I guess maybe this could be the one, because they did outplay the Nuggets for a while. They just can't sustain it. Listen, let's just sum it up this way. Until somebody gives me a good reason not to bet unders, playoff unders continue to be a pretty safe destination for you. And that OKC game only went over because they shot the ever-loving lights out of it, and it still only went over by like 4 points. Boston-Miami went over also because Miami went crazy from three. So you have these games where one team goes nuts, and those go over. Both games went over yesterday. But overall, the pacing of these games suggests that more should be under than over. I think we can probably put a pin in things for now. About a half an hour was kind of the target for these off-season shows. Thanks for joining us here on the early side. Folks that are watching on Twitter, please make sure to subscribe on a traditional pod channel so you get everything as we go. To everybody else, thanks so much as always. I'm at Dan Vespers over on social media. Back with you with a little week recap tomorrow. And we'll spend a little more time on playoff betting stuff. That'll be a bit more of our kind of Friday focus on these shows as well. Have a lovely rest of your Thursday, everyone. I'll see you guys in a day.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style, and you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.